Hey everyone, my name is Pratyusha Parkala and welcome to my podcast Prana Cafe. Prana is a Sanskrit word which literally means life. Life of the humans, of the animals, of the plants, the birds, the bees and everything that is on earth. As I mentioned in my last episode, this November, as we celebrate World Vegan Day, World Vegan Month, the focus of the episodes on Prana Cafe podcast will be on veganism. I intend to explain facts, answer questions, discuss dilemmas, and talk to guests who are on their journey of veganism. So let's dive right into this week's episode and learn a little more about veganism from our guest. Hey, so we have our first guest on the podcast and he in fact happens to be my classmate. His name is Alex Nettle, who's a master's student in Environment Development and Politics at University of Birmingham. Alex has spent last few years heavily immersed in the Green Party of England and Wales, which advocates environmentalism. And you know a little bit about his background. He's been a press officer for the Young Greens, which is the youth wing of the Green Party. And he's been the youth outreach officer for Ellie Chowans, who's a member of the European Parliament. And he also ran as a candidate for Birmingham Ladywood in the 2019 UK general elections. So during our conversation, we figured that he's attended various actions for animal rights and has been a vegan for 3 years now. Hey Alex, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Perfect. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
Doing great. So I know that you've turned a vegetarian in 2016 for environmental reasons. Now you're a vegan. That is because you support animal rights, right?
That's right, yeah.
And what were your thoughts through this? How did you feel? And what was your main driving force?
So it began, I've been an environmentalist for a very long time, much further back than 2016. Mm-hmm. But I was still happily chomping away on ham sandwiches and various different meat products. Mm-hmm. And there was one day where I was just, you know, going into school, and a very good friend of mine, she said to me, how can you be in the Green Party? How can you be an environmentalist when you eat meat? And I was, you know, furious that how dare she say that to me? But I also realised that I just didn't have a response. And so I started to look into it and realise the devastating impact that animal agriculture had on the environment. And so then I slowly, shamefully slowly, transitioned to a vegetarian. It took me a while, but I got there over the course of a few months. And I was content with that for a while. But then once I got to university, I started to look into the animal welfare side of things. And I hadn't ever really appreciated just what happens to animals to produce things like eggs, to produce things like milk and cheese. And it took a friend of mine doing veganuary for me to go, oh, do you know what? I actually think I could do that as well. So I saw her do it, and then I watched a documentary about animal welfare standards in the UK, and from that point on I didn't buy any more animal products. I gave them up. And I felt so much better for doing so. And that was almost 3 years ago, so I've been vegan for quite a while now.
Right. So, but I think there are no imperfect vegans, because as long as we are all trying, even if it means giving up meat once a week, that's still a good start, right?
I think it's a good start, yes. I think it's just good to be mindful of what the end goal is.
And right.
For me, I think the general overall picture is that we need to treat animals like we would other people, treat them respectfully. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to therefore focus on how can we get to that end goal, which is veganism, which is plant-based diets.
Absolutely. And animals is not food. Animals are a life in themselves.
Exactly.
Right, perfect. So, you know, while I was giving your introduction, there is so much that you did on the politics side of it. Mm-hmm. The Green Party, as is obvious, is a very strong advocate of environment with the just concluded US elections as well. You see, politics and environment are so closely related. So you being on the politics side, how do you see the importance of this?
I think politics is absolutely crucial. But I think first it's important to say that veganism, and we'll go on to this later, is very often a movement that is led by a social movement. It's led by people. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing that with a lot of the demonstrations and marches and things. At the moment, things like Extinction Rebellion on environmental issues, but we are seeing Animal Rebellion and other groups fighting for animal rights. And I think the role of politics a lot of the time is to be influenced by these movements on the ground level and take those ideas and transform them into a political arena. Mm-hmm. And I think the Green Party is the best party in the UK for this when it comes to animal rights. And what we're saying is we need things like a meat tax and a subsidy for plant-based foods. We say that because just taxing meat actually means that many people who are living in working classes now, where meat is seen as the most affordable food might not be aware of the other avenues for food that they can get. And while things like pulses and rices and lentils and all of those things are relatively cheap, a lot of the things that people want, meat substitutes, for example, are on the direct opposite of the spectrum and very unaffordable for people. So I think politics has a role in making it so that everyone is able to access these products and not just have to rely on pulses and rice and lentils. And that's why I think taxing meat so it's more expensive is crucial, and removing the subsidies that we give to farmers at the moment to do that. But it also needs to include subsidising plant-based foods so that everyone can access them as well. I think those two things are very, very important.
Right. I mean, something like commercial agriculture, where soy and maize, which are grown to actually feed the animals, those are heavily subsidised.
Yeah, so the subsidies are designed with animal products in mind. So I think that that is something that we really need to look at in our politics, and that's what, you know, politics has a role in doing, making sure that what government is spending money on is sustainable and also animal friendly.
Oh, that's perfect. Because so often it is thought that, you know, veganism is just something for the sidelines, something for very small section of people, that hippie group, that group, which is like such a minority.
Yeah.
But it has to be mainstreamed.
It has to be mainstreamed. And whether you take the human-centered view that you want humanity to survive the, you know, the climate crisis, it's crucial for that. But I think we also need to shift our focus to treating all life as equal.
I completely agree with that. And this is where, you know, approaches from both sides, where an individual level action is also taken into consideration, and something as a top-down approach where a policy level difference is also created. And you said you've attended various animal rights and you were a part of the action of it. Could you tell us one or two of those incidents which had that profound impact on you? Probably not everyone has a first-hand understanding of how bad it could get.
So I'll start with the more positive one, which was, there's a movement called Anonymous for the Voiceless, and how those protests work, they do something called the Cube. How it works is you have a group of activists who stand with masks on, just holding screens, showing footage from inside slaughterhouses and farm conditions. And they stand in a square so that everyone who's walking on the streets can see. So when you're wearing that mask holding the screen, there's something incredible about seeing people's reactions to the slaughterhouse footage, because I think a lot of people have this conception of meat and dairy as this thing, you know, happy cows living in a farm, given a good life, and then quietly killed at the end. And because that's what advertising has done. And so when they're confronted with what actually happens, you can see the horror on their face and the compassion that people have, because everyone does have compassion. I think people who eat meat aren't necessarily doing it for nasty reasons. It's usually because of a lack of education about what is actually involved in that. So just seeing from behind the screen the people's, you know, unfiltered reactions can actually be very moving and beautiful to see, because they're not holding anything back. And then also we have some people who are the outreach ones who stand around the screens, and those people who stop to look at the footage on the screens, you just go and have a conversation with them and you just say, were you aware of these things happening? How does it make you feel? And you let them lead the conversation. And there was one conversation in particular that will always stick with me, which was a pregnant woman who was watching how in the dairy industry, calves are taken away from the cows. And the mother cows can cry for weeks and weeks. They have one of the strongest maternal bonds of any animals. It's heartbreaking. And she was watching this footage and she just started crying. And she was so open about it, about how she felt and how she had never even considered what her buying cow's milk was doing. And, you know, we had a conversation then about soy milk and other plant-based milks. And she said, okay, I'm going to go and buy some now and take them home and try them. And that for me was a really profound moment, because there was no resistance. There was just being open to a new conversation, to new information that I thought was wonderful.
Such an overwhelming thing. I don't know how would I have reacted to something like that. I think it was a Brazilian advertisement where, you know, there was a supermarket and you usually, like you said, you just see the finished product. You just see beautifully packaged meat in the refrigerators and you pick it up from a supermarket. This advertisement, it was exactly trying to gauge people's reaction, where someone wanted fresh meat and they actually hand out a little piglet and say, okay, do you want me to chop this out for you? And they say, no way, I'm not going to take it. So actually seeing the whole life cycle of the animal to getting to the end of it, that's where education really matters.
It does matter. And you know, some people say putting that slaughterhouse footage in public is disrespectful to people, to make them have to see that. But I think that if you are buying these products, it's really, really important to know what it is that you are buying.
Right.
Because you're not just buying some steak or whatever it is you're buying at the supermarket. You're buying an entire process. You're funding what is being done to these animals. And if you're not aware of what is being done to these animals, then you're not getting a full picture of the product that you're buying.
So the second incident that you were saying.
This is a bit more of a sad one, but this was after I went vegan. In fact, it was about a year ago. I went to a slaughterhouse not far from Birmingham in Wolverhampton, where they were bringing in trucks of pigs. And what we'd do is we would just try and give the pigs some comfort before they would be going to die. And it was a very difficult day, very difficult to do, because that you had all these pigs crammed into this truck, and you know they're all close together. And the thing that stuck with me was not necessarily how close together they were, although that was traumatic, but looking into their eyes, they were terrified, utterly terrified, and desperately trying to get out. They knew that something bad was happening from being crammed into that lorry. And the fact that we were just trying to give them water and things, or give them a little bit of affection, and most of them were trapped in the middle of the lorry, you couldn't get to them. You could just see their eyes looking at you desperately. It felt like they were begging you to help. And then the lorries go in, and they close the gates of this slaughterhouse. We're not allowed to go directly in. And this method of killing was gassing. And I didn't realise before how loud it was when they were being killed, how you could hear them screaming across the street as they were dying. And I'd seen videos of this before, and that had been what had influenced me to go vegan. But I think actually being confronted with it, with myself, with my own ears, hearing just metres away, these animals that had given me that look in the truck just moments before, it was really hard to do. And I'm the one who wasn't in that truck, wasn't then going and being put in the gas chamber. But I felt glad for doing it, because I think that gave me an even closer connection. Because I think, you know, when you see it on a video, you can have a very profound connection. But when you see it in person, mm-hmm. it really makes you appreciate just what is at stake here. It was very difficult to do. But I think it was important for me to do, to fully understand what it was that I was advocating.
Right. I'm so glad this is an audio interview and not a video one, because you'd see me tear up. Because even if you know all of this, even if you know the videos, even if you know what's exactly happening, having a very personal experience actually creates all the difference. And even if you know what happened to 10 million animals before that, every single life, every single day, every single choice actually makes a difference. Exactly. Like, you know, it's the difference between life and death of one life. Yeah.
And I think building on that, you know, when you hear the numbers about how many tens of millions, hundreds of millions, and then even trillions, if you include fish, which I think we should, how many animals are dying every year. I think those numbers can be a bit too big, a bit overwhelming, because they're so big. So therefore, you can't really, think about what actually it means on an individual level. And so I think making that connection with an individual animal, looking into its eyes and then hearing that,
right.
really made me remember what it's like for the individual, not just the massive picture.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, things like the male chicks which are killed on day one,
yeah.
right? Those are things, those are numbers which we can't even account for.
Exactly.
And I relate to that personal connect, because when I was trying to understand climate change and sustainability, mm-hmm. And I made my journey to Antarctic, it's not like you don't know about glacial melting. It doesn't mean mm. that you don't know about sea level rising. This is yeah. something that you read in newspapers every single day. You see yeah. it on social media. But when I was there in person, it gave me that strong conviction to actually push ahead and power through in life. That mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily mean everyone has to do that, mm-hmm. but when someone like you or me are actually doing that, then it adds a lot more credibility or a lot more.
Yeah, I'm not saying that everyone therefore needs to go out and
go to a slaughterhouse.
But I think at least understand that I am speaking from a position of knowing. I know, because I have been, and I've
right.
seen what actually happens in the most average UK slaughterhouses. You know, in this country in particular, that's what happens everywhere, and it's mirrored across the world. Which I think ties into the conception that, you know, oh, you can buy organic meat, you can buy free-range meat. It doesn't matter where the meat has come from, it is still being put in that truck at the end at a fraction of its lifespan and being killed
right.
way before.
Because
it should.
At the end of it has to be profitable. It is a business model.
Exactly, yeah.
So one thing that lots of people come back to me and say is, oh, but veganism is only for the elite. Veganism is for the rich. Veganism is for if you have the choices in your life. If I'm in a position of disadvantage, I can't make my choices. I can't be vegan. Mm-hmm. So how is this whole price dilemma, or the point of elitism in veganism? How would you answer that?
Like I said earlier, it is entirely possible, if you have a small amount of income, to pay for things like rice and pulses and lentils, all of which are very nutrition rich, can provide good protein content, and are cheaper than meats now. So there is definitely a way you can do it if you are, you know, financially restricted. It's definitely, there are fewer barriers to going vegan if you have a lot of money. But it is possible for pretty much everyone to go vegan, I would say. Yeah. So there are definitely routes that people can go.
Right.
And there are so many things you can do with vegetables in cooking.
Right.
That you can make a completely varied meal day to day,
mm-hmm.
just with basic ingredients.
Right. I've been a vegetarian all my life and I never complained.
And so I think, yeah, education is important, not just on a this is what happens in the slaughterhouse level, but also on a this is what you can produce on not very much money. Right. And that's why I think those things such as 30-day vegan challenges can be really useful if they just show you this is what you can do on this budget and you can actually save money by going vegan.
Absolutely, and in the long term it actually saves money. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you start exploring and once you start adopting the lifestyle, there is so much difference that you can create on your own, and it almost feels like a personal challenge or a personal adventure for me. Mm. Where I'm trying to explore, okay, what else can I do with this, and it's so much fun.
Do you know, I think I've had a much healthier relationship with cooking since I went vegan than before. Before I was a disaster in the kitchen. I didn't know how to cook anything. And therefore, I learned how to cook and how to do nice things. Uh-huh. And I think that transformed my relationship with food and cooking, that I felt, oh yeah, actually, this has been a nice challenge, nice to do.
And food is your most primary thing, right? And you should have the most beautiful relationship with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We eat it 3 times a day at least. And
I mean, the reason why we do jobs, why we study, all of it is to earn a living and cook and eat in the end of the day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Perfect. Alex, any closing thoughts for the listeners?
Not particularly. I would just say if you haven't gone vegan, it's definitely something to look into. Mm-hmm. It's getting easier and easier every day, it feels like, to be vegan now. Think about what I've said today, what we've discussed today, and make the jump.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Alex. You've been such a dear friend. Thank you for doing this for me.
Very happy to do so. Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
On this week's episode of the Prana Cafe podcast, I'm quoting Joaquin Phoenix, who won the Academy Award for Best Actor as Joker in 2020. He said, "It takes nothing away from a human to be kind to an animal." All this month, I'd be doing more episodes discussing understanding veganism. And if you have thoughts to share, questions you want to ask, you can always reach out to me on my social media handles, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, @PratyushaCFA18. And this episode of the Prana Cafe podcast is available across multiple platforms, anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast. Do share it widely, and I'll see you next week with another episode. Until then, this is Pratyusha signing off. Take care. Lots of love. Bye-bye.